Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
Yeah, and I remember seeing like his setup, and he had like a whole like fake cockpit thing, and he was using Microsoft Flight Simulator, which, if you've ever tried it, is actually very realistic.
I feel like I should try that just in case I'm ever in a scenario where I'm like, holy shit, I gotta fly this plane right now. We're all gonna die. That's not gonna happen for me. I will never be in that scenario.
Somewhat small known fact, I have flown a plane.
What?
Yes, I have a small plane. And, I've only once. And prior to that, my only training or experience was using Microsoft Flight Simulator. And it actually is so good that, like, I really didn't miss much of a beat. Like, I knew where pretty much all the controls were. I went up with this one other guy, an instructor. I did a touch and go. I landed the plane.
You landed the plane?
Yeah. I did. And,
all right, hang on. So let's back up a second here. How did this happen?
Well, see, back before people decided that they were going to take pilot lessons and then hijack planes and fly them into skyscrapers, it was very easy to just go out and get a lesson to fly a plane. And I don't know if you ever remember this, but like, they would advertise sometimes that it would be like $30 for a flight instruction at like a local airport. So, and all you had to do was like, you'd go online and print out this thing from, you'd fill out some information, and then you could go to any one of these like, licensed or people that participated in this program. So I went to an airport that was a bit south of here, still in Massachusetts. And, I paid $30. It might have been $35. And,
Okay. So this was before 9/11 is what you're saying?
Yeah. So I was probably like,
you were in high school.
14 maybe.
What?
Yeah. I was probably about 14.
All right.
So yeah, this is a true story. There's pictures of me doing it.
I'm not saying that you're lying, but the story sounds very made up. And people have lied about this, and if they were lying, this is what it would look like.
Well, I am not lying to you, sir. I did do all this. It was awesome. And
hey, can I take a quick side note here?
Yeah.
I phrased it that way because and at least one person that listens to the show, especially if I tell them that Inside Joke is in here, will get it. But we had our district manager would come and take money, like cash out of the drawer in order to pay like roofers or plumbers or whatever, because he would work out a deal. Like if you paid cash, you got a better deal on it.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't give he didn't put a receipt in because he would, I think he also had to keep the receipts for like the leasing company, because we own the building. So if it was anything to do with the building, he would he had to send the money to the leaser so they could adjust like maintenance fees or whatever.
Right.
But the new regional manager came in and was trying to find receipts for this stuff, and he was like, I can't find receipts or anything. And we were like, yeah, we don't know. And he makes a big deal, a big to-do about these receipts, and then finally he just goes, look, I mean, Tim's not stealing, but people have stolen before, and it looks like this.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right, so you're 14.
Yeah, I was around there, yeah.
So we'll say 14, and you do you fill out all this information.
Yep.
You go up in a plane with an instructor.
Yep.
And I get based on your abilities, I guess he was like, yeah, go ahead and land the plane.
Yeah. So basically, you go in, and all of it, like with any plane, it has two steering yokes and two sets of pedals and all that. And,
cause it's like a driver's ed car.
No, because it's like any plane. All planes have two.
I know, because all planes are like drivers.
Okay, all right. Anyways. So.
I was making the comparison with all planes, but yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were making a comparison with that plane. But yeah. Anyway, so we went up, and he starts telling me, okay, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, and you know, he saw that I pretty much knew what I was doing. I mean, I didn't know everything, but that, you know, I could hold my own, especially considering my age and my experience. So, like, we went down, we actually went to the vineyard, Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, we did like a touch and go. So, like, he helped me bring it down.
So what is a touch and go?
So basically, you go down, like you're landing, you go across the runway, and you pull back up and take off again, all in one motion.
Okay. So you don't come to a stop, but wheels are on the ground?
Yes.
Okay. Now, hang on. I want to back up a little bit further here. So what kind of plane were you in? Just like a normal, like, prop plane kind of exactly what I'm probably picturing?
It was a small Cessna single-engine plane.
Okay.
So we went down, he assisted with the landing, we touched the ground, and then he didn't really tell me he was going to do it, but then he didn't do anything and let me, I took back off, got back up to altitude, and he was like, you just did that all by yourself. And I was like, cool. And then, we went back to it was on the Cape where we took off from, we went back. And we went back in, we landed, and we got down, and he was like, you basically just did that whole landing by yourself. He was like, I really didn't do anything with the, you know, with the pedals or the yoke or anything.
So he had his hands on the stuff, but he just didn't do it?
Yeah, like he could have like taken control if I fucked up.
Okay.
But yeah. So he just let me do it.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is that if you want to, like, kind of learn how to fly without flying a plane, Microsoft Flight Simulator is a really good way to do it.
Huh. But now it's it's really hard to get flying lessons.
Is also
the point of that story.
Yeah, or you know what? I don't even know if it's necessarily harder. Like if you go through like going to school and all that garbage, but if you ain't just showing up at some local airport and getting no $35 flight. That's for sure. You're not. That's not happening anymore.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So what you're saying is I've missed my chance.
I'm saying yes, that unless you want to invest far more money, you've missed your chance.
Fuck.
I'm sorry, but it was awesome.
So, like, okay. So, say we're on a flight. We're on a commercial flight. All right. And it's like a... Did you see the movie Nonstop?
Oh, no.
With Liam Neeson?
No, I didn't. I kind of wanted to see it, though.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure why, like, we let this Irishman be an air marshal, because I feel like they wouldn't want an Irishman to be an air marshal. Like, they would only want Americans to be air marshals, but whatever. So he's an air marshal. And pretty good. So let's say Liam Neeson as an air marshal is on the plane. All right, and this all this stuff goes down. All right, pilots are dead. We're good because we're on autopilot right now.
Yeah. Right?
But all the pilots are dead. Liam Neeson killed the bad guy, but he's also mortally, like, wounded. So he's going to probably, he probably won't make it home.
Okay.
But he's with it enough, and he's like, does anyone on this plane know how to fly a plane? And you're like, I got this. Like, do you wait a minute? You wait to see if anybody else says anything?
Yeah.
And then would you be like, I can give it a try?
Yeah, so I think what I would do, yeah, if anyone asked, if they were like, can anyone fly a plane? I would probably very slowly raise my hand, hoping that there was someone else probably that was like, yes, I'm an airline pilot, or, you know, something like yeah, that.
You're like, oh my God, please be like a fighter pilot, or like, Or another airline guy, please, dear God, please. Yeah. And you're looking around and nobody.
And no, so yeah, I would probably begrudgingly kind of like put my hand up and be like, yeah, I mean, I could, you know, I might be able to do something. I've
done a lot of Microsoft Flight Simulator and I took a lesson once in a single engine Cessna. So I think I'm our best chance.
I no guarantees. I would not give any guarantees about my ability, but I would say that I probably have better knowledge and skill than the average person.
Okay. I would probably agree with that.
Yeah.
Now say we're on the flight together. Can I be the co-pilot and just sit up there just for the heck of it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're good.
Yeah. I'd probably not have you touch much, but. You know.
Would you let me? Okay. So
I could use you up there for moral support.
All right. So this is happening, and we're still a few miles out from landing. Okay. Would you let me fly for a couple minutes and just, you know, we'll take it off auto and just let me kind of steer for a second, because everybody's all really already shook up back there. I'm not going to do any damage if we drop like a few hundred feet real quick or anything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because there's a decent chance I'm about to die. So would you let me just be like, all right, I flew a plane for a little bit before I died. And then you totally get control back for the landing.
I think maybe not a huge one, but maybe like a small, like a 737 or something.
Okay.
I think I could land it without killing everyone.
Nice. Okay. So.
I really do.
I once flew from Canada to Providence, Rhode Island, because actually last time I went to Edinburgh, which was 10 years ago with my sister, which I'm going back in a couple weeks with Rachel for our honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Didn't mean to do that. didn't mean to ask Siri anything. Siri, will Greg kill us?
Yeah, probably. Yes, most likely.
We got rerouted, or we like missed the connection. I don't remember exactly what happened, or like because of a storm or something, we couldn't quite land in like New Jersey where we were supposed to land. So Kelly needed to get home for something. My sister needed to get home for something, and she was like, "Okay, well, like, what around there can you get us to New York?" And they were like, we can get you to Providence, Rhode Island. And she was like, okay, that's fine. We'll rent a car and go from there. And this was during the point of my sister's career where she was traveling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So she was real confident in what she was doing. She's like, I got this shit. No problem. So she was more confident than you with flying the plane.
All right.
Like, if Liam Neeson was like, does anyone know how to rent a car? She'd be like, I got this, no problem.
Does anyone know how to rent a car?
So, we end up in Providence. She rents a car. I think we drive a little bit into Connecticut, and it's, like, real late at night. So we end up stopping at a hotel. And then we had to, because she had, like, I think a wedding or something to go to the next day. Like, literally the next day.
Gross.
So, and the problem was she was in the wedding, so she really needed to be there.
So, you can't really be late.
Yeah. So, I think we drove a couple hours and then drove a couple hours in the morning, and then we were in New Jersey, and then she was able to do the old shit shower and shave and get ready for the wedding and go over there. So,
it's so, even weirder because I know your sister.
Yeah. That's just, you know, I mean, when you have to get ready real fast and, like, you got to take care of the basics. So, you know, you only have a certain amount of time before you have to be somewhere. So you take care of the essentials. You shit, you shower, you shave, you're good to go.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So, anyway. Oh, so the point of the story is that flying from this place in Canada, I forget where we were in Canada, but going from Canada to Providence, we're on one of the old, like, it's one seat on each aisle, and it's the twin propellers.
Oh, Jesus.
So, but on each side, so it's like something out of, like, the Phantom movie.
Yeah.
Fucking Billy Zane, like, that's the kind of thing that we're on.
Speaking of which, I saw that again recently. That movie is goddamn awful.
Here's the thing. I don't think it's that bad. There's way worse ones. There's way worse superhero movies than The Phantom. And I would actually consider owning The Phantom, but for some reason on Amazon, it's like $70 to buy it on Blu-ray.
70?
70.
Like 70?
Yes, 70.
Why?
I don't know.
Was it a Criterion Edition?
Criterion Edition of The Phantom.
Hey, there's a Criterion Edition of Armageddon.
That makes a little bit more sense than The Phantom.
I guess.
But I have the Phantom in the cart on Amazon just so I can keep an eye on price.
Do you really?
Yeah, so I have it in my Amazon cart. Let's see, here it is. It's currently unavailable. You can trade in for up to $550. So maybe they're coming out with it again and it's going to be cheaper. I don't know. But yeah, it was like $70 last time I looked, and I was like, what the fuck? That movie's not that good.
No.
But I really enjoyed it as a kid. It's definitely better than Steel with Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, all right, fine. It's better than Steel.
So anyway, I'm in a really old plane is the point of the story. And then there's a foreign couple in front of us sitting on the plane. Or I say foreign couple, but it's like a foreign trio. So it's probably like the husband, the wife, and then her sister.
And the mistress.
They're all older.
Did you assume they were terrorists?
No, but they really freaked me out because they all, before the flight took off, they held hands. One of them held a prayer card with Jesus' face on it, and they prayed for takeoff, and then they prayed again for landing.
Well, at least it was Jesus and not Allah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I was like, oh my God, we're gonna die. And like, from my seat, I could clearly see the pilot. It was like it was fucking Wings.
Yeah. Nice.
And I was just like, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yeah, that is a little scary.
That is, it's very, very scary. And there's no, in that plane, there's no overhead compartment.
Oh, really?
So everything, like, we walk downstairs from the gate across the tarmac to the plane, and then they take the bags and they shove it under the plane.
Oh, okay, because I've only done the tarmac walk once in my life.
I've done the tarmac walk a couple times, and it was mainly, one was in Ohio, I think.
Yeah.
Another one was, I think, I've done it twice on that Providence, Canada-Providence trip. Because that's how we boarded, and then that's how we came off. And then I think I did it one more time on a plane in the UK.
Okay.
Because there's a really, like, cheap airline, kind of like a JetBlue over there. It's like $50 for a flight or something.
Oh, that even sounds like, what's that airline? Spirit Airlines.
Yeah, that flies out of the Arnold Palmer.
They pack you in like you're fucking cattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you that is no frills flying. That's like people bitch about how flying is now as compared to what it used to be. Don't fly like Spirit Airlines. They'll just like stuff you in your seat. You ain't getting up. You ain't getting no drink.
Yeah, you get nothing.
But you also only paid like $50 to get from Boston to Orlando.
Yeah, there's not even like a stewardess. There's one person that is there just in case something happens, but she's not even really paying
attention. It's actually like a Catholic nun, and she hits you on the wrist if you get up.
Oh, I was gonna say it's just one woman, and she spends most of her time blowing the pilot and co-pilot.
Okay.
But, I mean, Catholic nun also works.
Yeah. Yep.
What the fuck was the point of the story? Oh, so we're on...
Okay, so...
We're going from Canada to Providence. We're on this little twin-propeller plane. If you and I were on that plane and something happened... I mean, obviously, look, like, Liam Neeson ain't gonna be on that plane because people don't give a shit about that plane.
Right.
But something happens on that plane... You feel confident that you could land that plane without killing myself and the praying Eastern European family?
Yes. I am... I would say... I am about... not just assuming what kind of plane you're describing, I would say I'm about 90% certain I could land that plane.
Well, that's better than certain death, so I'm very happy with those odds.
Yeah. As the plane gets bigger, I would become less and less certain. You know, like a 747, I think I would defer to someone else.
So those giant planes that are like the double-decker planes, you're like, I don't have this at all.
No, I mean, I guess if I was the only one. But then again, you got to think, you're on a 747. There's like 450 people on that plane. I hope that there's at least one other person that knows what they're doing on there.
Well, there is, but he's a very old man, and he flew...
in Korea.
he flew planes in Korea. Or, he flew planes in Korea, so he's really... I mean, they were just fighter planes, too. But, you know, he's highly decorated. You know, so Liam Neeson's like, does anyone on this plane know how to fly a plane?
Well, I would say...
So
would
he raises his hand first.
I would like, bring the vet with me.
Okay, all right,
I would say me and him together, we could do it.
So, okay. But wait a minute. All right, so the two of you. So he can coach you through it, possibly.
Right, his experience and my... dexterity.
And semi-experience.
And tiny bit of experience.
Because if it's me and the old guy, his experience and my dexterity, the percentage drops real low after that.
Right.
Okay, so it's you and the old guy. But then, but do they still do they have that jump seat still in there? So like, because an airplane, I know everything about the cockpit of a plane based on movies. So an airplane...
There's Clarence, there's Roger, and...
Victor.
Victor's the navigator, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because...
I think so.
Kareem is Roger Murdoch.
Yeah.
My name's Roger Murdoch. I'm an airline pilot. My dad says you don't hustle enough. Okay. I bust my ass every night. Okay, so Victor, the navigator,
that
position doesn't exist anymore.
Okay,
it used to because you needed someone to figure out where you were and everything. But computers do that now.
But here's my question: does that seat, is there still like a jump seat in there or something? Like, can I be Victor in this scenario? Is there a place for me to sit in the cockpit?
Yeah, I believe there is a seat. Like, even if it folds down from the wall, I think there is a seat.
All right, so, because here's how it goes. So, you're Clarence, which totally makes sense, because you would totally ask the kid if he's ever seen a grown man naked.
Yeah, I am Clarence in that movie.
You're Clarence. The old man is Kareem. And then I'm Victor, who does nothing.
No, yeah, exactly.
He doesn't have a bit in the movie, as far as I remember.
Other than what's your vector, Victor? That is basically it.
I'm just gonna add. I really want to watch this movie right now.
But I consider Airplane to be maybe the funniest movie ever.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's incredible, and every time they pull Kareem out of the seat and he's wearing the goggles and the shorts, I die. I cannot stop. That and the flashback he has, and it's like he's in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And like, oh, who's that guy? Oh, he thinks he's Ethel Merman. And then Ethel Merman just busts out of the bed and starts singing. Also, die every time.
That's great. I love
it. It doesn't
that.
Matter how many times I see it.
I love the I love all the bits where they're just like, headquarters, what's that? And they're just like, ah, it's a great big building where all the officers are.
I love the gay guy. I forget his name.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I love when they make some sort of reference, like being asleep at the wheel, and he's like, just like Gerald Ford.
I like the part where he goes, they're like, the plane's getting closer, and Leon's getting large.
He's fantastic.
He's great. I also love the kids in that movie.
Oh my god, yeah, with the coffee.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, how do you take it? Black, like my men.
Like my men.
And he's just like, oh boy.
And then he just... He's just like, oh, okay. Doesn't talk to her for the rest of the flight.
Love the love how he tells the story to the main guy tells the story to everybody, and they all kill themselves.
You
and,
know,
and like they pan over, and there's just a set of feet dangling. Yeah. She hung herself, which or, makes no sense, but is amazing.
Or the Asian guy that stabs himself.
Oh yeah,
you know who that is.
Who is that? That's not the guy from Lethal Weapon, is it?
No, it's Seinfeld 4.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh my god.
Yep, that's him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so many good big bits in that movie.
It's fantastic.
So many.
Yep.
Fuck, I really want to watch that now. Can we just can we cut this short and just
you would just watch it? Yeah, I would actually love to watch Airplane. We should do a live tweet of Airplane.
Oh my god.
That's actually a good idea.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. We'll find time to do that. Let's wait till after the honeymoon, because then I'll probably have more time. But let's try and find a time to do a live Airplane tweet.
Sounds good.
Where the fuck were we? Oh, yeah. It was just about you rescuing the plane. You're Clarence.
I'm Clarence. The old guy, man is
old Kareem. Guy. Old guy. And I just want to let everyone know. Here's how I'm picturing the old guy. Hunched over. Never went to a chiropractor or anything. Real hunched over. Glasses. Wrinkly. Lot of liver spots. Probably has a cane. Some kind of a plaid shirt on. With a sweater vest over that.
I still think he's wearing his Korean War veterans hat.
Yes, I was just going to say. He's still got the hat on.
And it's got like the patches and stuff on it.
Yes, he's definitely wearing the hat.
Yes, he wears it everywhere.
Yes.
He goes out to get milk, he wears it.
He's wearing the hat. Of course, like you only see this when he's walking to the cockpit. And he tries to, like, he's really hunched over first, and he tries to straighten up a little bit, but he still has that hunched over look to him.
Mm.
Like, sans belt slacks, trying to look real sharp for the old man. And then he's got, like, the brown socks, because he's wearing khakis. He's got brown socks, and then just, like, Reebok shoes.
Reebok because he needs the support. He wishes he could wear the dress shoes, but there's no support.
But yeah, just like he just gets to the bottom, he's just wearing Air Jordans.
they gotta be like old man things, like Saucony or something like that. New Balance. He's wearing New Balances.
Yes. Here's what I see happening. Liam Neeson is bullet wound to the shoulder, So he's got some kind of a compress over it. He's like, does anyone know how to fly this plane? And there's silence for a long time. And then you and the old man at the same time both raise your hands. And you're close enough, you're like, you're in the same row, but you're separated by that weird set of like five seats in the middle.
Yeah.
And then you like look at each other. And he goes,
It's me and you, Ken.
Yeah. He's like, I don't have the strength anymore, but I have the knowledge. Yeah. It's just the two of us now. And like Liam Neeson just kind of like nods approvingly. And you guys both get up and walk down the separate sides of the aisle to the cockpit.
I was going to say, but someone's got to help him. Yeah. I go down my row and then I have to run back the other one and help him. It's like when you're walking your grandmother into the supermarket, you got to like hold her by the arm.
Yes. They say, you know, here's what happens. I am sitting next to you. So as soon as you get up, I like run over and I have to push past all those seats. And I'm like, sorry, excuse me. Sorry. Just trying to help the old man. And then one, like the person a couple seats ahead, like tries to get up and I shove them down. I'm like, I got this. This is my moment.
You leave the old man alone. Well, then.
So I help him. And then we get up there. And I'm like, can I try for a second? And the guy's like, no, you can't. And you're like, come on, just let him. Give him a minute and then we'll do it. Just let him hold the controls. It'll be fine.
Well, see, I was going to say I can't wait because just for comedy's sake, it should be a 747. So that means we have to go upstairs to the cockpit. And it takes the old man like 20 minutes to get up the stairs.
No, I pick him up and carry him bodyguard style.
Oh, all right.
And then some jackass in first class is holding up his phone playing the bodyguard theme.
That would be awesome. While you knock people over.
Yeah. I keep banging the old man's head on the seats.
That'd be great.
But yeah, like all of a sudden, like right as we're about to, like right as we're lining up for landing, we run out of fuel and we just start in a free fall. So the old man's there. So I got to reach around him and help you pull on the sticks to pull us up.
Mm. Yeah, because he can't. He doesn't have the strength.
Yeah, he can't do it.
Although nowadays it's not really like that, but yeah.
I know, but in the movie,
right. No, I know. It's not like there's no. It's like there's power steering. You know?
Yeah. Somebody cut the power steering line, and the fluid is just leaking out. Yeah.
So it's like we're flying a World War II plane.
Yes. So we're doing that, and then we land, and we make it, all right? We land, we're good.
Don't you think the old man would have to have a heart attack and die right after we land? And just, like, impart some little part of wisdom on us?
No. Better than that, because we just went through a really stressful moment, so we need a light moment to break it up.
Oh, yeah.
So we land the plane. We're there. We're at the end of the runway. Like, we go off the end of the runway a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but we make it. Okay, so we're there. We're at the end of the runway. And we're all like... And then we're like... What is that smell? And the old guy's like, sorry.
Shit my pants.
Oops. And then we're like, ah.
Crazy guy.
And then later we're in the... The airliner, like, first class lounge, knocking back drinks with the old guy, but he's, instead of the Sansibelt slacks, he's now wearing basketball shorts.
His big ass baggy shorts.
That he obviously borrowed from somebody who found in the Lost and Found, and we're just knocking back drinks.
Ah.
While people are still getting off the plane.
They're jumping down the slide.
Yeah, like, we went to the first class lounge, we're knocking back drinks in the bar.
You can see it out the window. Jumping down the slide. Those fire crews hosing down the front of the plane because the landing gear broke.
Exactly, sparks were flying up. There's a little bit of smoke. Like, the plane is clearly a little broken.
Yeah. But the people are all right.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And then credits.
And then, yeah. Thin.
And then, no, here's what's happening. We're knocking back drinks. That's all happening in the background. Then you hear Fly Like an Eagle playing. And then fade to credits.
And it's got to play the whole thing, Fly Like an Eagle.
Yeah. Oh, and also Liam Neeson makes it. Like
he does?
He does actually end up making it.
Intensive care, though.
No, well, yeah, but he's like, he's lost all the color from his face, but he's still sitting there drinking with us, holding holding a t-shirt over his bullet wound.
That
and then Fly Like an Eagle.
Hey, isn't that going to thin out your blood? I've had worse.
I have a very particular set of skills, and drinking is one of them.
I am Irish.
Credits.
I think it'd be a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like it's one of the ones we have to make and it goes directly to DVD. And then people are like, you know what? This movie's so fucked up. I really like it.
It's like Titanic 2. No, actually, it's much better than that.
No, yeah. No, it's way better than Titanic 2.
That movie was terrible.
I never saw it. What do we call this movie, though? We need a name for it.
No flying for old men?
Okay, maybe. Maybe. Nah, we'll figure out the title.
We'll figure Men it out. Men in Planes.
Oh, you know what we call it? We call it Flight 69. Because that's the flight number.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Flight 69.
Boom. Nailed it.
Yeah. So to speak.
I really like this idea. I feel really strongly about it. I mean, we spent a lot of time on that, but I feel really strong about that.
Yeah. No, it's good.
I think it's really, really solid. So what have we learned so far? You can fly a plane, maybe. And then, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. So what else is going on in the news? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? You know what everybody is talking about right now? And again, it'll be old news by the time this comes out, but I feel like mentioning it. The woman that completed the American Ninja competition.
Oh, I saw that, yeah. Hello?
Yeah, no, I think that's all that really needs to be said about that. It's very impressive.
Okay.
But I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, I thought you had, like, more to the story, like, you were gonna be like, she was, 2 months pregnant. She didn't know until after.
No, she was a former gymnast, and she did really well, and she's surprisingly cute and not scary.
For being able to complete it.
Like,
she actually is attractive.
Yeah. Because you would think that she'd be one of those, like, real muscular, like, scary women.
Yeah.
She's not. She could probably kick my ass.
Oh, I'm sure.
But she looks good.
Yeah, no. I was somewhat impressed. Because you figure usually they look like, I don't know. Who's a really ugly woman? Natalie on Facts of Life.
I was going to say Margaret Thatcher, but yeah, that works.
Sure.
No, usually they're like super ripped and just real scary looking.
Yeah. There's not much I find less attractive than a woman bodybuilder.
And I think part of the problem too is that they probably also take some steroids and shit. So they always have kind of a man face too.
Yeah.
This girl does not have a man face. So it works in her favor.
Yeah. It's good news. What else?
I wanted to get your opinion on this. Weird Al. Thoughts on Weird Al, because apparently he's been releasing a bunch of music videos this week, have not watched a single one.
Yeah, I heard something about it. I heard it was
I think it's his last album? Is he retiring?
I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't hear any of the news.
Um Weird Al retirement. Let's see, Weird Al. Yeah, I think. Here, let's look at his Wikipedia here. Let's see. Because I thought I saw that he was like, well, you know, I'm kind of done. But were you ever a fan of Weird Al?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really?
Oh, yeah, back in the day. Loved Weird Al. I had almost all his albums. You?
Let's see. Oh, you know what it is? It is his, he's saying that with the end of his recording contract, it is likely his last traditional album. But future songs and EPs, he said, will likely be digitally distributed.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he's not done making music.
No. He is just taking, I guess, going a new path, we can say. I don't know. I don't think I was ever really a big Weird Al fan.
I loved, what was the album? Bad Hair Day was great with Amish Paradise. I'm trying to think of some of the other songs on there. There was some good stuff. There was the one, the cover, and it looked like he was, on Nevermind, where he was swimming in the pool. Like the baby. I enjoyed Weird Al. You know, when you're in your real early teens, like maybe like 12, let's say 12-ish, you know, like it's funny, but it's not overly vulgar or anything. So it's like not like your parents don't mind you listening to it or anything. It's like a good medium.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Like, I knew them, but none of them are, like, here's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out if I am, if something is wrong with me because I am not as big of a Weird Al fan, or at no point was I the way that other people were. I don't know.
I don't know if there's anything wrong with you. Maybe it just didn't get you at the right time.
Yeah, I guess I didn't... Like, did you think he was funny? Did you think the parody songs were funny?
Yeah, I did. I mean, now they seem really goofy. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I did at one point.
Okay. Maybe, you know what, I don't know. I never liked... Maybe it's just I've never liked parody songs either.
Huh. I mean, I definitely don't look for them now. I don't know. I feel like it's a good... There was a period in my life where it fit my humor and personality. But that was only a short window. Maybe only a couple years.
Maybe I skipped that parody song or that parody phase in my life.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's completely legit.
Like, here's the ones that I remember. I know he did a song, he did, Eat It.
Yep, Eat It.
Eat It. Like a Surgeon.
Like a Surgeon, yep.
Amish Paradise, we already mentioned.
Yeah.
Gump.
Yep, Gump.
Gump. I think that's the only ones I can think of. Well, he did White and Nerdy. I remember that one. That was more recent.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones I can name.
Yeah, I mean,
what am I missing? What am I missing here?
Well, I mean, you could go way far back. You do I Lost on Jeopardy. That was a classic.
I Lost on Jeopardy, never heard of it.
I Lost on Jeopardy. Baby. No.
What was it a parody of?
I'm not sure. It was a parody, though.
Well, aren't all his songs?
No, not every single one.
Most of them are, though, right?
Yes, the vast majority of them are.
Is I Lost on Jeopardy Video Kill the Radio Star?
No.
Okay. I was just going based on the way that you sang it.
You could go really far back and go Another One Rides the Bus.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember that one.
That's a good one. My Bologna? 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 Whatever.
Oh, instead of
My Sharona.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of some other one. There's so many. Smells Like Nirvana, when he just makes fun of Nirvana.
Okay.
God, I'm really reaching back into the archives right now.
Well, yeah, because did you stop listening to Weird Al about the time that, or before you were flying a plane?
I would say it was around the same era, Greg era.
Okay. Greg era?
Yeah.
I think, here's the thing, I don't think I ever liked song parodies. And I'm not I just never got it. I never got into it. I was just like, oh, he's just singing different words.
Yeah.
To the thing. His videos were always very impressive, though. Because his videos always had a lot going on. A lot of theater and stuff happening in it.
To be honest, I kind of forget many of the videos. I remember Another One Rides the Bus.
I remember the one for Eat It, and I remember the one for Gump.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember the Eat It one, too. Never mind.
I remember the Gump one, and there was another one that I think I'm thinking of. But supposedly, that's, like, the new ones are pretty good, too, but I haven't bothered watching them. Because I'm like, Weird Al. Okay. You know what's worse, though? What's worse than Weird Al? Song parodies. Radio parodies, song parodies.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember when they did one for what's the Copacabana? Who sings that song? Barry Manilow?
Barry Manilow.
They did one of those before the Star Wars Cantina.
Oh, I don't know if I remember that.
Let me see here. Star Wars. It's Star Wars Cantina song. No. You know what? That's going to be just the... That's probably what it is.
That probably is what that is.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Fuck. Let me go back here. Sorry, everyone. Star Wars Cantina song parody?
Yeah, maybe.
By Richard Cheese.
Oh, Richard Cheese! Yeah, I know him.
Does Richard Cheese do a bunch of stuff?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, God, I probably hate Richard Cheese, too. Hang on. Let's see.
Stopped into Mos Eisley to have a drink with Han at the Star Wars Cantina. The weirdest creatures you've ever seen.
I think you like it.
I don't get, like, it does nothing for me.
I've heard a couple of his. I never heard that one. I've heard a couple of his doing, like versions of, like, hardcore songs.
Richard Cheese. What else has he done? Oh, I know who Richard... Okay, I do know who Richard Cheese is. Because in the remake of Dawn of the Dead, He redoes one of those. I'm trying to think of what it is.
He's kind of like the poor man's Weird Al.
But, because he mainly just he just basically covers songs, right?
Oh, well, okay, yeah. So I don't even know if you'd call him a poor man's Weird Al. He just kind of changes them. Yeah, you're right.
He does them as, like, lounge ones.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, yeah, you're right. He doesn't even do parodies necessarily. I mean, kind of, I guess, but not really.
Oh, that okay. This is the one I'm thinking of that he did in Dawn of the Dead, the remake. Long intro.
Yeah,
he did that. Yeah, he did that one. And I remember because there were people, and people were fucking or something in it. Or, but that's he just covers stuff
You know what the problem is? Not the problem, but one of the problems is that no matter how many of those he does, no matter how funny people might think they are, none will ever be as awesome as the Ben Folds version of Bitches Ain't Shit.
That's true. That is one of the best. That and the Gourds covering Gin and Juice are the two best covers I've ever heard. Well, yeah. No, because we're forgetting Johnny Cash covering Hurt.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to talk? Yeah.
That's the best cover ever. That's the best cover song ever.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No, it's not.
What is the best cover song ever?
Jimi Hendrix covering All Along the Watchtower.
Oh, that's right, because I forgot that's not his.
It's not. Now, Bob Dylan, in retrospect, has said, that is not even my song anymore. That's now Jimmy's song. But we all know that it was not originally his song. That is the best cover ever.
All right, so I would say it goes that way. Yeah, it goes Along the Watchtower, Hurt. I don't know if it's Gin and Juice or Bitches Ain't Shit. That's a tough call.
Yeah. But yeah.
Is there another one?
Amazing cover?
Yeah.
There's
probably one that we're not thinking of.
I mean, some people hate it. Now, I don't hate it because I never really knew about the Springsteen version before, but the Blinded by the Light by Manfred Mann.
I'm
sure plenty of people are gonna call blasphemy on this, but I prefer the Manfred Mann version.
I would probably agree with that. Let's see. I got a little list here of the 30 cover songs that are better than the original, but I don't recognize most of them. So I don't know if this is really. Yeah, none of these are.
I mean, I'm assuming Hendrix is on there, but.
Actually, he's not.
How is Hendrix's Along the Watchtower not on there?
I think because they were going newer stuff. Apparently, Springsteen did a cover of The Wait that's supposed to be better. Oh, wait, here's Jimi Hendrix. Oh, and here's Johnny Cash. But a lot of these people I don't even know. I don't keep up on music nearly enough.
Yeah. We're turning into old men.
Yeah, well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's all right. We're already there. Old fuck.
Oh, interesting. It says that The Clash's song Police and Thieves was a cover. I did not know that.
I did not either.
I would consider putting that on the list then.
Yeah.
Oh, The Specials A Message to You, Rudy was a cover. Did not know that.
Don't think I know that song.
You've probably heard it before. Oh, you know what? I did not know this for at all. You know the song R-E-S-P-E-C-T?
Yeah.
Find out what it means to me. Cover. Aretha Franklin covered that song from Otis Redding.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I did not know that.
Let's see here. Hound Dog was apparently a cover too. Did not know that. Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You.
I'm a big fan of Marlena Shaw's version of California Soul.
Okay.
The original was by the Fifth Dimension.
Whitney Houston was covering Dolly Parton, I Will Always Love You.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that was a Dolly Parton song.
So I don't remember any of it, but in fourth grade, I guess there were deaf people coming to visit. I don't remember anything really about this. I haven't thought about it in years, but I guess there were deaf people coming to visit. So, like, there was like a fourth grade little performance or whatever that we all learned how to sign that song.
Oh, Jesus.
And I think we all did it. I don't really remember. I don't remember any of it, but I remember that we had to learn it. I don't even think, maybe not all of us did it, because I don't really remember performing it, but I remember learning it. So maybe, like, they tried to teach it to all of us, and then the best people did it.
Yeah.
Or maybe we all did do it. I don't know. I don't remember. And I don't remember the why we did it. I think it was, or maybe it was just, honestly, this sounds terrible, but I think it was just to a group of black people. And they were just like, you can't understand our language, so try this language. And then they also did.
So, So you all signed a song to just a bunch of black people?
I don't know. I really don't remember. I was hoping more of the story would come back as I was talking. I was hoping that at some point I would be like, oh, I remember exactly. I still no idea. I think it was because, like, there were students from a deaf school visiting us for some reason. Why they were visiting, I don't know. But that's just something that happened in fourth grade. And I remember because it was fourth grade because there was a teacher that was allergic to chocolate that taught it to us.
That's the most random thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you're all welcome.
Thanks, Keith.
There's another good one that I just saw on this list here. Oh, okay. They say that this one's really good. I don't know who the Slits are. But the original,
The Slits.
I know what a slit is, but heard it through the let me try that again. Heard it through the grapevine. I really like the cover done by Creedence.
Okay, yes, I agree. I also I want to say the Hall & Oates version of "You Lost That Love and Feeling." I'm not saying it's better than the original.
You're just saying it's a really good cover?
I really like it.
I will accept that. So what are we saying here? Covers are better than parodies?
Oh, I don't know if we're making a statement. Okay. I think we're just talking. We're just talking.
Here's what I would really like a song parody to be. Because here's the thing. Weird Al is just singing different words to an already established song.
Okay. Yeah, but I think that takes a little more talent than what Richard Cheese does.
Oh, no, definitely. It definitely does.
Okay.
Totally does. But what I think I would appreciate more is if he was taking that song and using it to make fun of that artist.
Well, that is what he did in Smells Like Nirvana.
Okay. I think I tuned out by the time that It Smells Like Nirvana, or maybe it was before, too far before me that I never went back and heard it.
Now, most of them, I don't think he does make fun of them, but that one, he does. He, like, rips into them and, like, calls them, like, a shitty garage band and stuff like that. Like, and I think a couple of his others he does, but primarily, you're right, he does not. He makes it just about something else that has nothing to do with the band or the original song.
Yeah, and I don't care for it. Yeah. Wish it did. I don't. Sorry, Weird Al. I apologize. I don't find you as entertaining as everybody else does.
You know, what are you going to do?
I'm going to be honest, though. Never laughed at a Weird Al song.
Never laughed.
Never laughed.
Not even once. Wow.
No. No. Never was like, oh, my God, that's so funny.
Huh. Eh, what are you going to do? I've laughed. I would say I used to chuckle. You know, I maybe not anymore, but, you know, I did chuckle at certain times.
I feel like I might have missed something, though, because a lot of people really like Weird Al.
Yeah, yeah. He is loved. People get very nostalgic about Weird Al.
Yeah. I feel bad because I'm sure he's a very nice guy.
Yeah, from what I understand, he is.
Like, okay, so let's take it back here. Assuming Weird Al also knew how to fly a plane. All right, let's assume that in between accordion lessons and singing lessons, he also learned how to fly a plane. If you stood up and was like, I'm going to fly this plane, even if Weird Al thought he had more skill than you did, he would probably let you take that one.
Yeah, I would assume so.
He'd be like, oh, no, you know what? You go ahead.
You know what, sir? You go right ahead.
You seem like you need this one more than I do, so you just go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think he'd want to take my day in the sun away from me.
Yeah, he's like, I've lived a good life. I'm just going to let you have this one.
Yeah. I think so.
Is Weird Al Canadian, or did I make that up?
No, I don't think he's Canadian.
Let's see.
No. I want to say he's from California.
That is correct.
Yeah.
He was born in Downey, California.
Mm-hmm.
The town that was founded by Richard Downey, Robert Downey Sr.'s father. Nothing but drugs, hookers, and cocaine as far as the eye could see. So,
sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's a real fantasy land, but you can see why Robert Downey Jr. would have problems with that. just in the family genes. Every time he went home to his parents, he was like, I really gotta stop visiting you guys.
It's just rivers of alcohol.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
I mean, they really did have a river of alcohol, too. That's the fucked up part.
Yeah.
Just a river of booze.
Yeah, the wildlife suffered, but
yeah, I mean the local church used to baptize people in it.
Yeah,
it was like that.
They dunk people's heads in it, and the eyes would be burning.
Yeah, it was like that scene in O Brother, Where Art Thou, where there's a whole line of people, and they just kept dunking them in.
Mm.
It took forever though, because they would dunk somebody in, and then they would pull them back up, and the guy would pull himself back down into the river to drink more. So you know, took a long time.
Long time.
I guess that's it.
All right.
I feel kind of bad because I ran short on the Weird Al. I was like, I don't really have as much to say as I thought. I thought you might have more to say, and I didn't have as much to say. And you know, Weird Al really wasn't a good closeout.
He's not a very controversial topic. He's well liked.
I don't like him, though.
I know.
I don't care for him. It bothers me that people think he's so funny.
Okay.
That's perfect. I was like, it bothers me that people think, okay, easy there.
Literally, you know? That is the most rousing dislike I've ever heard of Weird Al.
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone get any more... I probably haven't even heard anyone get as fired up anti-Weird Al as you just did. And I don't think you got particularly fired up.
No. And here's the problem. That is probably like a sign that you're a psychopath.
Do you have a problem with Weird Al?
Yes.
Okay.
They're like, yeah. Do you have a problem with this? And they play a Weird Al song. And he's like, why do people think that's funny? And they're like, you're a psychopath. That's the test that they did on Dahmer, and that was a deleted scene in Seven. They played it for Kevin Spacey, and he freaked out. that it make it into the final movie because they're gonna get the clearances. But that's the sign. So I'm like, I'm maybe 5 months away from putting Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box, is what I'm saying. I think. Although there's probably actually people that are a lot closer, because I really don't have anything against Gwyneth Paltrow. But a lot of people do.
I don't really care.
You're like, I'm done.
This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bordello. And remember, no regrets. And when you're wiping, front to back.
That's good.
Front to back. Yeah, it's hygienic.
Especially if you have a vagine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's real bad. That's not fun. From what I hear.
Yeah, you don't want to get poop in your...
I was going to say, or your dick hole, but then I was thinking, how do you get poop in your dick hole? But then you get poop in your dick hole by fucking someone in the ass, probably.
Fucking an ass.
Yeah, so that covers that, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. So, look, you know, don't get poop in your holes, I think. Is the main thing.
Keep poop out of your holes. That's the moral of the story.
Can we make that a PSA?
Keep poop out of your holes.
Yes. don't fuck a dirty ass and wipe front to back. Keep poop out of your holes. The more you know.
This is important.
I hope.
It's like, too many people don't realize it.
Some guy's like, what about the butthole? That's a hole, and I can't keep. I gotta get poop out of that. What, am I not supposed to poop? Sues NBC for like $1 million. He's like, I didn't poop for a long time. I kept popping Imodium all the time. Got shit poisoning.
Got shit poisoning.
There's a name for it, but. Shit poisoning is such a better name than whatever the medical term is.
It's exactly. It's like when, like, Farrah Fawcett, she died of ass cancer.
Yeah.
Or asshole cancer.
Yeah.
It's much funnier than saying she died of whatever the technical term is.
Yeah. Like, yeah, shit poisoning is way better. But yeah, what is that?
That's a window.
That sounds like a vibrator.
You wish.
You're like, oh, he's talking about shit again.
Oh, oh yeah.
keep shit out your holes.
She could do like a song.
You know, oh my god, I was just gonna say.
Keep shit out of your holes.
Okay, so if we were to make a parody song for Get Shit Out Your Holes, let's see.
Wait, so if you say it like that, is it like a rap song? Get shit out your holes?
Well, yeah.
Get shit out your holes.
Can we do a parody song of it, though?
I can't. I don't know.
Okay, what about...
I'll brainstorm.
I think I got something here. I'm not sure. What about the Jonah Jett song, I Love Rock and Roll? Get shit out your holes.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Yeah.
Always wipe front to back. Get shit out your holes. I think we got something here.
It could be.
Because all I remember is Put Another Dime in the Jukebox Baby.
Yeah,
that's all I know.
I don't know the rest of the song.
Yeah, but I think that's where we go. So Weird Al, if you're listening, please do that, and you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome for the idea.
And if he doesn't want to go too blue and say shit, poo also would probably work. Get poo
out your holes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we call this episode Get Poo Out Your Holes?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. Is iTunes going to be upset because we said the word poo?
I don't think so. I called the last one Tasty Squirty.
Yeah, but that's like, that's implied. I think if we called it get shit out your holes, they'd be upset. Get poo out your holes.
Poo's probably fine.
Oh my god. What if we call the movie Get Poo Out Your Holes? And everyone's like sitting in the movie theater and they're like, why is this movie about an airplane called Get Poo Out Your Holes? And then at the very end, after he shits his pants, he just goes, I got poo out my holes.
And then it kicks into the song and goes into the credits.
Yeah, exactly. And
or instead of Fly Like an Eagle?
No. It still goes into Fly Like an Eagle, and then the Get Poo Out Your Holes parody song is, like, at the end. It's the secondary credit sequence song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
So I think that's what it is. It's Get Poo Out Your Holes. Because everyone's like, why is this movie called?
You gotta wait an hour and 45 minutes to find out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you gotta wait a long time and go through a lot. People kind of forget, and then...
Go like, through a lot.
Everyone's... And then you gotta get to the end, towards the end, and you're like, I think there's, like one guy checks his watch, and it lights up his big, dumb face, and he's like, honey, there's, like... I think there's only, like, 15 minutes left in this movie. Why is it called Get Poo Out Your Holes?
I still don't know why it's called that.
When I went up to go to the bathroom, is that when they said it?
Is that the, like, no, that, the time? That was just you.
He's like, how do you know what I did in there?
You took too long. That was like 5 minutes.
And you didn't wipe enough.
You stink. You didn't get the poo out of your holes.
And he's like, oh, I think I get why it's called this now. And then he gets to the end. He's like, oh my god, I get it.